Up next is the collaboration between the Spooktator podcast and the Lancashire Anomalous Phenomena Investigation Society. Known best as Lapis, the group are hosting their 2019 Paranormal Conference in St Anne's, Lancashire on the 9th and 10th of November. Details and tickets can be found at lapisparanormal.com. That's lapisparanormal.com. I'll be delivering a brand new talk titled The Trials and Tribulations of a Real-Life Ghostbuster. And in the lead-up to the event, I'm interviewing my fellow speakers for the show. For this episode, I spoke to Julie Aspin. Aspin has had a lifelong interest in the Lancashire Witch Trials of 1612 and has made it her mission to end the perpetration of the myths surrounding this story and those involved. I began by asking Julie what her talk at the conference will be about.
It's going to be about the 1612 trials for witchcraft, which took place in Lancashire. And it's basically about laying the myths. There are a lot of myths surrounding the story, and the talk is an attempt to get behind those myths and find the reality of it.
How did those myths sort of come around in the first place, do you think?
They're just things that have been passed down over the years through people writing novels. For instance, a man called Harrison Ainsworth wrote a novel called The Lancashire Witches, Romance of Pendle Forest, in the 19th century. And a lot of people read that and took that to be factual. And from that, in this century, people have written novels. And it's just gone down in sort of popular culture, really.
So it must be quite difficult to look at the stories that have evolved around the Pendle Witches and the witch trials and work out what is fact and what is fiction and what is fiction that's based on fact. How is it that you kind of go about doing that research?
Well, we've actually only got one contemporary source from 1612. From the trails, which was written by the clerk of the court at the time, and he wrote an account after the trials, but he wrote that on the instructions of the judges. So without wanting to go into too much, you can see where there's going to be, you know, it was a justification of why 12 people were executed. And so actually a lot of that, we don't know how much is true and how much what's missing out to begin with. So we don't have very much factual evidence at all. And a lot of it then just becomes guesswork, supposition, being aware of what was going on at the time, politically, economically, socially, and then making a lot of, as I say, guesses and assumptions from it.
Sort of kind of filling in the gaps in a way, I suppose.
Yeah.
So are there any myths out there that you know are definitely myths that weren't too difficult to research?
Well, there's the one that you know, everyone believes, that the witches fly over Pendle Hill on the broomsticks, you know, and at Halloween it's really busy on Pendle Hill, whereas actually there is no evidence at all that any of them ever set foot on Pendle Hill. They lived around the area, but there's nothing to say that they ever went near the hill at all. So that's sort of the biggest one, I think, because, as I say, at Halloween, it's busier than, you know, Blackpool Illuminations.
Do you think that current popular culture might play a role in that?
I think so, yeah. I think we perpetrate that myth, and I think that it's, in a way, it's a tribute to the people who lost their lives.
Because the reason I asked the question is, so we, as a podcast, we talk about the paranormal. And one of the things that I think of most when it comes to the Pendle Witch Trial, I don't know if you're aware of the show called Most Haunted.
Oh my God, yeah, don't get me started. Yeah.
Well, we on the podcast, we're a little bit obsessed with Most Haunted, not necessarily because we love it, but just the impact that it has and what the show does and so on. And I can remember many Halloweens ago sitting at a Halloween party with friends and watching The Most Haunted Life from Pendle Hill.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that episode?
Oh, it was unbelievable. They haven't done the research.
Yeah.
Released a long time ago now, I remember it, but they haven't done the research, so they were getting a lot of the names wrong. They kept mentioning this character called Black Jake. Now, Black Jake was actually a fictional character from the book that
Oh.
I mentioned earlier, The Romance of Pendle Forest.
Oh my gosh.
I do remember things like that, and I remember years later they were in Salisbury Hall, and they were sort of saying, "Oh, the Pendle witches have turned up. They've followed us. Demdike's here." And oh, it was horrendous episodes, those. Yeah.
And because a lot of those, they took place actually on the hill, didn't they? They
Yeah.
kind of went up onto the hill. And
Yeah.
you're saying that it's completely unconnected to the hill.
There's no evidence. I'm saying that they ever were
Right.
on the hill. They lived in Pendle Forest, so they lived in the villages around it. But there's no evidence that they ever walked over Pendle Hill or, had covens on Pendle Hill or whatever. Because I think now, going back to your question about popular culture, there's still a lot of ghost walks that take place and tours around there, and they perpetrate this all the time. I was on one recently, and they're not actually saying, "We need to come to this book by Thomas Potts, and this is where we get it all from," and it's. Yeah, it
Yeah.
is still perpetrated in that way, yeah.
So you mentioned the hill. Are there any other really common myths about the Pendle Witches that you think listeners of ours might have heard that they might be surprised to discover?
I can tell you one of them that wherever I go, wherever I do a talk, there is always somebody who says that they are descended from Alice Nutter. Okay, so Alice Nutter was. She was executed as a witch, but she was kind of a more well-to-do lady than the others. The others were all quite
Sure.
poor. And we meet two or three people in more, almost every time I do a talk. "Oh, I'm descended from Alice Nutter. My grandma told me, it's family story." And, I've done the research, and I know there's no way that people could be descended from Alice Nutter because the family line died out.
It's interesting you say that because my family, well, on my mum's side, her family come from Lancashire and they grew up very close to the Pendle Hill area. They moved around a lot, but they were in Nelson and other places. And we have a story in our family that says that somebody in our family married in to the family that descended from Alice Nutter. So obviously that's a really common one.
For people to be very broadly descended from Alice Nutter, they would need to be descended from families called Hargreaves and Whittakers and not Nutters. So sometimes we have to rain on people's parade. I've actually got an article published in a magazine this month about descent from the Pendle Witches, where I've looked at all the Pendle Witches to see if it's possible for anybody to be descended from them. So.
If people want to learn more about the Pendle Witches, where can they find out more information?
There's a local author that I would recommend for people to read who's very good, John Clayton. And some of the fiction is worth reading as well, as long as people remember that it is fiction, but it does give a good flavour of what was happening and what happened to the people. So there's a book called The Daughters of the Witching Hill by Mary Sharratt, and that's a really good, colourful read, I think.
The question that I've heard a lot of people discussing in the past whenever the Pendle Witch Trial comes up, but also other witch trials from around the country and also from around the world, a lot of people start talking about the idea of a pardon. Do you think that's something that will ever happen for the Pendle Witches, and do you think it's something that should happen?
When Jack Straw was the Home Secretary, they tried to get a pardon, and he refused to do it because he said that under the laws of their time, they were fairly tried. But the research that we've done since shows that no, they weren't fairly tried. And I think, yeah, now maybe I think that they should get a pardon, but I don't think they ever will because It's very cynical of me, but they're good for tourism in the area.
Do you think the tourism would be affected negatively if they did get a pardon?
Yeah, I do. Well, I just think people like the idea that they were witches and they were, you know, whatever, dancing in the moonlight and selling their souls to the devil. And I think that if they then said, no, they're not, they're innocent, that probably some of the colour goes out of the story then.
And you mentioned there that they weren't fairly tried. Could you maybe outline what you mean by that? What were the disadvantages of their trial?
Well, they weren't allowed a defence. And they were found guilty on the evidence of a 9-year-old. And at the time, even in those days, it was illegal for a child to give evidence in court. So they were, you know, they were, it was just mistrial, just miscarriage of justice.
That was Julie Aspin, one of the speakers for the Lapis Conference, which takes place in Lancashire on the 9th and 10th of November. Buy your tickets at lapisparanormal.com. That's LAPIS paranormal.com. I might see you there.